You know, I'll just say this. I am grateful that I get to see you at least once a week now. Because we're not working together anymore in that capacity that we were before. So for the most part, I'll scroll social media and I see you. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to see him in a few days. Or, like, you know, I think that the whole basis of this podcast, well, not the whole, but part of it is the, oh, I get to hang out with my friend and, like, make something together.
Yeah.
And there are that elements I'm like, I don't necessarily have to ask you about certain things in your life because I could see it on your social media.
Yeah.
But when you arrived today, I think the first thing I asked was, how was the thing over there?
Yeah.
Because I'm that type of person. I want more context. Agreed. And what I love about social media sometimes, it depending on who you are, it gives you that sense of like, oh, maybe I can ask about this.
Totally.
Because this person has put it online. So that's, it's almost free game almost. What do you think?
It's an icebreaker. It's an opener to like have a conversation, I think. And like, I think for certain people, like I don't like writing super long captions.
Yeah.
But I know some people do that in detail. And I love when they do. Because sometimes I'm like,
essays.
Oh, essays. Like for me, I was just never big on essays. And class and whatnot, so I just like to keep it short and sweet, or like a little funny punchline. Yeah.
Would you say that's one of your social media tips for yourself that you carry? Mantras?
Mantras always. I mean, for myself, I don't know if I put them on social media, but like I think making the caption something like short and sweet is always great.
On that note, my name is Tossi Alabastro at Tossi Alabastro on social media.
I'm David Morales, actor, poet, everywhere on social media, and this is our podcast.
Art Time Job, a podcast, a support podcast for working and aspiring artists by us, working artists.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know I was like, we didn't really have a full on lead into this, except that we desperately wanted to talk about social media because it is in our everyday lives as artists. And if you're not listening to this and you're an artist, then clearly this message is not reaching you. But I'll say with confidence that this year we're only like, I mean, it's a little more than halfway, and I've already spoken on a couple of panels about social media. So clearly there is there's still a need for like clarification on how to use it in our kind of, you know, ecosystem of the arts.
I will say too, there's a lot of people who like think they're too late always with social media.
You're right,
but you aren't.
You
are one video away from going viral or changing everything.
Where do you think that comes from?
I think it's the click mentality of like, oh, they have a thing and it's working for them, so it won't work for me. You know, but I love to approach social media like a new school. Like
hashtag like, curiosity
because especially when I remember when TikTok came around, it reminded me of Vine, which I never got on because I was like, I don't know how to be funny in 6 seconds, and I was like younger in my acting infancy stage of acting.
Younger stage of acting
So I never capitalized on Vine, and I thought that was like the platform I really wanted to get on. So when TikTok came around, I was like, okay, I'm going to get on here. And I knew a lot of people who I knew weren't going to be on there. So I was like, I'm going to be exposing myself to anybody so I can be anything I want. I have pressure.
Interesting. So that was your access, the fact that no one else was going to, like, that was part of it. Obviously not all of it, but fascinating.
Of course you want to grow and get followers and all that stuff, be known, but like, there's such freedom when knowing your peers or like your family and no one's going to be there. It's just you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. You're not going to get kind of harassed with like potential judgment about a certain thing. I will say, I think a big reason I didn't get on TikTok was I didn't want to do any synchronized dancing. It's fun to watch, but it wasn't really for me. And to your point, I also was kind of a fan of Vine, but I didn't know how to, I still don't, to be honest, I still don't know how to deliver funny videos in such a short amount of time. Like
yes,
that.
You do.
Oh, thank you.
I've seen you do like improv skits that are like 2 seconds and I'm like, amazing.
Well, cool. Yeah, I guess, but so there's that part of me that gets in my own way, right?
Of course.
And
as we all do.
Yes. We, you know, we talked about this and we'll continue to talk about this. Like, man, I get in my own way about that. Like me saying that out loud, like, you're right. I have been funny in short amounts of time, but I think it is a skill and discipline to go, okay, today, you know, whatever the day is, I'm going to create 4 videos for this. Or that, I mean, that's an overreach, right? 4 is a lot, but let's say even 1.
Okay.
Man, I could spend all day just overthinking it instead of just, and then editing it. And, you know, for anyone out there who's looking to do any form of editing, you got to know, like, that takes so much time.
It does. I think in the beginning stages, it does.
Yeah. Have you gotten better?
Way better.
Yeah.
And because I know what I like. And I will say, pro tip that I got from Gary Vee was, before you're thinking about jumping on any social media platform, spend about 10 hours, so just like a week of scrolling. Don't have to do it just all $10 in one day, but like, consume content and see what you like, see what seems doable, see what lane you want to do. And from there, you'll get so much encouragement. Because from there, I was like, how do I make my text do what this person did? Mm-hmm. Oh, how do I get the lighting like that? Oh, this person's just going in the bathroom and making these videos. I can do that. You know, it's like, what seems doable and, you know, where you want to go. And obviously, this person's getting results, so why can't I get results?
Right.
You know?
So for you out there watching, listening, if you didn't already guess what this episode is about, well, let me spell it out for you. Social media.
Yeah.
And today we're going to dive into, I guess, our use case scenarios why it still is relevant in our lives in the way that it is. And also, like, why or how and why you shouldn't really be afraid of it if you are curious about jumping and using one or two tools within the social media realm to help your artistry and help kind of push you forward in a different direction.
It's mandatory. This is the way.
Is it mandatory?
I think so.
I like these questions because I also believe that it is, but I also like to reserve a little bit of space for the parts that are like, it's not mandatory to record this particular part of my life.
Agreed. But your life and your business are two different things.
Right. Yeah.
And I think unless you're known like a Tom Holland, social media is mandatory. Because people will find Tom Holland regardless what he's doing, what he's eating,
regardless of social media.
You know, there's already Tom Holland fan pages. He's on social media whether he wants it or not. You know,
it's true.
But us less known folks,
yeah,
we can leverage that following in so many different ways. Yeah. Like, I mean, The Rock. Like, right. I'm thinking The Rock. He gets, I think, $1 million per post,
right?
Per anything, right? So if he's doing a movie and they're like, they see he's at this crazy following, they're like, well, we can pay this marketing company, or we can pay The Rock.
I think that's a part of the social media aspect it's interesting because it feels a little unclear for a lot of people that I've spoken with, like, wait, you can make money using social media? And what's interesting to me is the fact that all that information is actually readily available for you to read, to watch, to consume, either on social media or just like on a wiki page or something. Like actual website for these sites will detail for you monetization guidelines.
Yeah.
So it's not like a hidden thing that people or these social media companies try to hide from you. It's literally there. I think it is an incentive for the social media company to be like, hey, we also have benefits for those who want to extend their kind of use of our platform.
And not to say it's exact, like, oh, you have this many followers, so you get this much money, or like, you have this many followers, so you get that much viewership. Mm-hmm. But I will say, for any casting people out there or any type of sponsorship or business looking into you, if they see you have a decent social media, they'll be like, okay, that many people might watch this show, or that many people might check my ad. So it's like, you're bringing value to the table each time you have the social currency of social media.
Bring value, additional value.
Value. You know, we have an episode already about investing in ourselves, but I think about this scenario a lot.
Go ahead. Of
if there was somebody who was really talented,
okay,
that you knew but needed all the supplies in the world. I was like, oh, I need a big studio. I'm imagining this person, a musician. I need a big studio and I need these big features and then I'll be famous. Mm-hmm. Or if you have a kid who just like, oh, I just got my phone. And I'm recording myself making beats and like doing what I have while I just have little resources. Yeah. And he's really trying to push himself. Who would you rather invest in?
I mean, the scrappy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Social media is scrappy, bro. And I love that about it. It's like people find a way to make it work for them. And right. I love that. Your social media is for you to be social on the media. Get scrappy. How can you reach out to these people, you know?
Get scrappy.
You know? I love that about it.
Yeah. Okay. I like that that's kind of the energy you have behind that, because I could totally understand where people are like, well, I'm shy and introverted, or like, I don't have anything to share.
Be shy.
Yeah. 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 Share that. Yeah. In fact, that is what I've noticed a lot with a lot of YouTube creators is that actually the ones that have been doing it for the longest and seemingly incredibly successful. And when I say successful, you know, obviously that's different ways to defining it. I don't know exactly what they define success for them. But for me, seeing it is like the longevity is the success.
Yeah.
Like you're not, you know, you are able to speak to your audience in a manner that's like, hey, I'm going to take a break. And they support you for that.
Of course.
Amazing. Amazing. But I've noticed that a lot of them are actually introverts, or like they're really shy.
Yeah.
And like this is an outlet. Oh, speaking of outlets, so actually I want to circle back to what you were saying earlier about that it's mandatory. The way I've reframed it, and this might help you out there if you're listening, watching. The way I've reframed it is a extension to my resume.
Mm-hmm.
In the way that like LinkedIn is there, in the way that, you know, articles, if anyone's written about you, is there. It's just an extension of your resume. So curated as such. And I know I've gotten this question before, but like, how do I share like my personal life? Right. And that's a great, great question. And that's going to depend entirely on the person. I've elected that. I think we talked about earlier that a lot of my personal life is my work. And I'm willing to put that out there. And for the things that are not, I'll just make a separate account.
Yeah.
So honestly, if you feel that as an artist, you want to keep it separate, the social media accounts that we talk about here, they all have that feature where you can just make a separate account.
Yeah.
Put it on private, invite the people you are in a close circle with.
Yeah. As many accounts as you want, you can create. Yeah. Me personally, I'm the opposite. I look at my social media like my resume, very similar to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Like if people want to find me, remind me of an irk I have, like something that makes me mad about this.
Is that where the name Urkel came from? Irk? Irksome?
Like
did maybe we just discover something? Because nobody calls their kid Urkel.
Yeah, no, irk. Like irk. I got an irk.
I got
maybe because he is an annoying kid.
Interesting. Okay, this is a different episode.
Different
character names.
Anyways. I like to think of social media as my visual resume. Like, why would somebody follow you? It's be like, oh, this guy entertains me. Oh, he provides value. Oh, yes. He acts. Oh, he raps. You know, just like show people that.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, my family is so much a part of who I am, how I got here, and, you know, why I do it, and my partner and my friends. But at the same way, I don't want things to get muddy if like somebody else's values don't align, because I love my people for who they are, what they align with, their morals. You know, I respect so many different perspectives, and I don't want people to be like, but you hang out with Tossie, and Tossie only wants to go to Portugal, and he believes in Portugal fishing only and not American fishing or something like that, and be like, what does that have to do with me? You know, I'm like,
you know, I wanted to yes and that and add something, but I'm like, that was already pretty funny.
Thank you. The callback if you see other episodes. But stuff like that. So I don't want to muddy that up in that way. But I will still always post your stuff, because I'm all about lifting others around me. If you're grinding, I love people who are like scrappy on social media. I will always repost your stuff if I see you working.
I feel the same way. Like there's something about seeing someone make that effort, and it rides that very fine line of like, they're just professional enough to be scrappy.
Yeah.
To be scrappy in an approachable way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to call this episode Scrappy Media instead of
Scrappy Media.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, the irk.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. This boils my blood.
Tell me.
Because I put out so much content on social media,
yeah,
people know that I act. Mm-hmm. And I make music because mm-hmm. of the content. The minute you open my social media, you'll see a video of me acting or rapping immediately.
That's effective.
Effective.
Yeah.
I don't want people to get lost in like different posts. I go through and edit posts all the time and like put some in the archive or hide it from my grid because I'm like, I don't want you to get lost in a post. Any post you click, I want you to see me acting or rapping.
It's almost like you should have a separate channel where you could critique other people's.
So, I could.
And chart, you know. Hey. Yeah, that's an episode for us. But this I only say that because a good friend of mine does that for live streams.
Really?
And I happen to send him mine. And he really likes mine. So I'm just curious, like, how much, you know, it's a lesson for the people watching, like, how much more can you get better? Because mine's already solid.
Yours is solid.
Right? But he's like, oh, so this would be helpful if you did this. I'm like, that's.
Yeah.
And I'm like, correct.
I'm always here for the notes. So it makes me the most upset when people reach out to me. Like, let's say you're casting and you're like, hey, I know you act, but I need a role for somebody like this. And I'm like, perfect. I know so many actors.
Yeah.
I go to my acting friend's page. One makes me the most when you're an actor and you're on private. I can't share your stuff. No one can find you.
That literally has happened to me.
Number one.
Yep.
Two, why don't you have any headshots of yourself on your page if you're an actor? Three, no motion of you, no clips, no nothing to show what you do. I'm like, help me help you.
Yeah.
Please post your stuff. Yeah. Don't be private. Like, I'm trying to get you gigs. Like, people reach out to me all the time. And I can't refer you if you don't have any clips of you doing anything or any pictures. Like, people want to see you.
Yeah. Have you ever seen... that's so funny you say that. Have you seen one that says @official and then their name?
Yeah.
And it's still private? You're like, what?
What's the point? What's the point? What's the point? Officially undiscovered, you know? Are you trying to stay there? Officially hidden.
Yeah, I've seen that. And it just cracked me up because I'm like, what is... Exactly that. What is the point? You know, and we're not here to make fun of anyone's account.
Yes, we are.
Okay, Dom is here. Dom is here for that. But no, at the end of the day, it's like, I mean, yeah.
I think it's just the same thing of like any other role or anything. Is like, why are you on social media?
Yeah, that's a great question to ask.
If you're just on there to like, I just want to post my life, do that. But please, if you're trying to like grow on social media, show off your art, your business, put that separate and put time into it. Like you put time into being in the studio, time into painting, mm-hmm. time into photography. Like put that time into that. Show people your progress. People love being behind the scenes and like seeing what you do. It could be a small post. I'm going to paint this today. Yeah. That's beautiful. And you could share that on your personal page too, but like keep it separate. Cause I know there's a bunch of artists that just don't post and just like other people's stuff. Yeah. I'm like, you're so talented.
I want to say this for Instagram specifically only because I also post in a different, I post for two different places. One is strictly photography now. Uh-huh. And I love that. Yeah, thank you. I love that there's an option there to cross post.
Yeah, you can
collaborate. So you could literally, well, not even that. You could just hit share to the other post too. Oh, it'll show up as a regular post on your other feed. So, you know, for those that are like, well, I want to keep things separate, you have that option to do that.
Yeah.
But I think what we're trying to advocate here is to treat social media, if you're really serious about strengthening your career branding, what you're trying to go for, having that is just such an enormous tool that I feel is underutilized. And listen, I'm actually kind of guilty of that. If you go to my personal, my Tossy Alabaster page, you could kind of get lost, but the thing is, it goes in phases, is how I like to look at it. Like, you see a different type of artistry. Actually, you know what it is? I lean into the multi-hyphenated.
Yeah, you do.
So you'll see.
But I also say you don't lean into not posting. Regardless, like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important thing about social media. I'm like, what is Tossy doing? Oh, he's in a play right now. He's doing video game reviews again. Yeah. Oh, dope. You know, like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're leaning into the hyphen, so I'm like, Tossy does a little bit of everything, you know? And I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
But the people out there who are not posting, and I'm like,
I feel like some people are like, I've seen.
Good. I want to call you out because especially my theater folks, I know we don't get material like we should to promote ourselves.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
But post more than once that you're in a show so other people could see, because the algorithm is never on your side.
Yeah.
Never on your side. There's an upcoming, I mean, he's pretty established now, rapper named LaRussell. And he posts like 6 times a day. You don't have to be this extreme, okay?
Right. No. I think that's what draws people off sometimes. Like, I don't have the schedule for it.
Yeah, you don't have the schedule totally for fair. It. And you're like, what's the best times for operating? Yes, I guess there might be some best times, best hashtags used. Sure. But LaRussell always says, like, F the algorithm. I'm the algorithm. I'm going to post and I'm going to let my content do its thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, flood people's timeline. If you really want people to come show up and support you, like, post every day. Post whatever works for you, but like more than once, because let's say you have 1,000 followers. You think 1,000 people saw your one post and like you only got 10 likes? I'm like, that's not how it works.
You know? Oh my God. I just realized that we could spend like so much time on this. I want to come back to this topic later because I have so many questions for you.
Yeah.
About like how to maintain the creativity on a schedule. Right, because that's challenging, right? And so, like batch posting, and schedule posts, these are all things that will help kind of help guide you if you're out there very confused about like how do I become more active or how do I maintain that. Here. And I will. Can I share something with you real quick before you jump in? There was a time where I stopped posting on purpose because I wanted to test something. I came back maybe like a month later. I posted something. It got the most engagement, and it's interesting to me because you know I think when you think about I'm speaking specifically about Instagram because I feel like I'm on there the most these days, and I love that they've released a video that says like our feed and our stories algorithm are completely separate. Mm-hmm. So what that tells me is like, oh great, so I could really approach that in a creative way, and say the feed is for the overview. The stories is for the personalized, like who I am as a person every on a day to day. And I like that.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, sorry to derail.
No, that was beautiful. I love that.
I keep messing with this microphone.
You keep messing with
it. I know. It keeps drooping.
Yeah. I will say about stories. Yeah. They are to engage with the followers that you do have. But if you're trying to grow, I think everything that you want to be a story should be a video. And then you just share it on your story.
Yeah.
But what you were saying about batching and stuff here, give me a topic that you're interested in. And I'll show you how I batch stuff.
Oh yeah, sure. Auditioning for voiceovers.
Come on, don't get that's easy.
Is that easy?
Me.
Okay.
Just give me like a random subject for somebody to be interested in. It doesn't have to be anything related to
us. Sure. Favorite books.
Okay, books. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Books already have a plethora of genres. So why don't we go your favorite books?
Okay.
Oh, books. My favorite books to read before I go to bed.
Oh, great. Categorize.
Favorite books three in the morning. Things. Three things, you know?
Oh yeah.
Books, my favorite female authors, my favorite male authors, books that are always timeless that I love coming back to, but favorite quotes from these books. Like your content really doesn't have to be long, but just you're trying to give value. Like the book I always travel with, my favorite book I recommend to people in this age bracket, favorite intro to finance books. Like,
man,
there are so many categories within these that you can make content with.
You just got me thinking about, like, oh, you're right. People used to do this a lot where they would travel with certain books. I've never even thought of, like, oh, I should bring this book with me because it's my favorite book to travel with. Sorry, totally off tangent. I didn't realize that was going to trigger something. I mean, that's so cute. Like, I love that. Yeah. So quaint. I like that. Okay. Damn it, Dove.
I'm just saying there's like, my brain is so like social media wrapped that I'm like, it's everything we do in improv. It's like, what are all the ways I can stretch this one concept?
Yeah.
Books. Man.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite type of hardback books.
I might have to just, okay, so in the next month, if you see any post about books, it's because of this conversation.
Come on, I got you.
Favorite books to draw little like action things.
Yeah.
And go little.
Favorite coloring books. Favorite books with pictures, you know, like whatever you want.
I love that.
Like talk about why these books are your favorite books. Oh, Speaking of books, there was a content creator that I really enjoyed. I don't know their name. If we know it by the time this drops, we'll put it there. Mm-hmm. But they would lean in and say a story as if it was their own. And at the very end, they'd be like, that's what I learned from this book. And it was the person's book. It wasn't. I was like, oh, I thought it was your story. Yeah, and yeah, I was like, you got me. You got me.
Well, speaking of, like, what's your story on really what got the gears going for you social media-wise? Do you remember the main kind of, like...
I got a couple stories. But the main key, I will say, for social media... I understand it's vulnerable putting yourself out there.
100%.
Dreaming is vulnerable.
Every time you say that, it always gets me. It like, you know, cuts to the core, man.
Anything you want it's not going to be easy, but I'm going to say it's worth it. You know? But a testament every single time to any success that I've had on social media is consistency. 100%. Mm. You know, trying different things, throwing things at the wall, using a trending sound, using some hashtags, collaborating with people, trying different, you know, things that you see, things that you think might be cool. Yeah. I've learned now that I treat every idea I have like it's my best idea.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you give it that much focus, you allow it to be whatever it turns into.
Mm-hmm.
The first success I ever had on social media was the year I won the Lee Weimer Award. When I was trying to drop a song every week, I got to 42 out of 52 weeks.
That was amazing. I was following that going, this is everything that I love.
Yeah. And the great part about it is that I had like 3 months of songs before I started. So the preparation was there. Batch. You know? So I was like, all right, batching.
Batch please.
Batching. and batch please. I just got that. You're funny. And I was making sure I was I was trying to post at least once every day per the song. Like, okay, I got the cover art. Perfect. I can talk about some lyrics. Perfect. I can do some performance videos for it. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And I didn't make them too long, but I put the whole performance out there. And one of those videos, I think it was in March, so like 9 weeks in, got reposted on a rap page. And I woke up the next day to 1,000 followers. And I was like, what's happening? What's going on? Uh-huh. And then I realized that's the modern day promotion. Like where I was talking about The Rock and marketing. I was like, I was like, so let me just reach out to a whole bunch of these rap pages. Be like, hey, this page already reposted me. Do you want to keep reposting? And some were like, yeah, $10 and I'll repost you. And I was like, and I looked at their following. And I was like, yeah, why not? It's like investing in marketing. And I promise you guys, within that 2 weeks, I grew 6,000 followers. I was like, what the heck is happening?
Yeah.
And that's still like the song's 4-play on my SoundCloud, and it's still like my number one played song on SoundCloud.
Yes.
That was the first win of success. The second win was during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And when I was messing around with TikTok.
Late 2019?
No, 2020.
Oh, early 2020.
I had a viral video in 2019, but like in 2020 when I was just messing around because nobody was really on TikTok and I was trying to get everyone on TikTok. I was like, hey, everyone, it's cool over here.
I remember that too. And I was like, I'm cool.
Yeah, nobody wanted to listen to me. And, you know, within that first year of TikTok, I surpassed my following that I've tried to build so long on Instagram. And a close friend of ours, Steven.
Hey, shout out Steven.
Shout out Steven. I'm going to put you on blast because I'm taking a lot of credit for your success right here. No. Steven, one of my greatest friends, he was a nurse. He was an ER technician, and he was thinking of going back to school for nursing because he was working in the hospitals.
Right.
And he was just like burnt out, and he was like, you know, I need to like level up.
Yeah.
And he was doing some stuff on social media. He was just having fun. I think he was with his girlfriend at the time. And he was like, you really like TikTok? And I was like, bro, I'm like, I see the potential. And I was like, what I love about TikTok, and I think more platforms are doing this, they're leaning more towards people teaching. Anybody teaching or like learning stuff, they're like, oh, they're creating value in this.
That's the value proposition.
And I love it. So I told Steven, I was like, post every day with me for a month, and if nothing happens, you don't lose anything. But if you don't post, you owe me $100. And we kept that. We put money on it.
That $100 thing, man, that you guys get motivated. So,
you know,
with the book club, everything.
It's something about like, I don't want to owe you money. Like, you're my friend, and I like talking trash. Yeah. And so do a lot of my friends. Yeah. So we're like, I don't want you to have anything else on me. And be that's like, oh, I just so bought funny. My lunch from your $100, you know? Whatever it is. So me and Steven posted every day for a month. And by the end of the month, I think I gained like 16,000 followers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Steven...
Yeah, where did he go?
He gained 1 million followers.
Wow. Some say he's still gaining.
He's still gaining to this day. And I mean, he's not an ER technician anymore. He's touring, doing stand-up, and he's making a lot of money off social media, brand deals, and YouTube. It's just like crazy to see that. Because he's, I mean, we know him. He was a theater guy. Yeah, you know, went to LA to do some commercial and still doing some acting stuff. But like, he's been a workhorse since I've met him. And I think everything just collided, like him teaching health tips during a pandemic when everyone's so curious.
What's the social media name? Just for those who are out there going, Steven, why does that sound familiar?
Stevio. We'll put it up. I don't know how to spell that because he's got some weird eyes and weird ears in there. Like, it's at Stevio. That's one of my best friends.
Some of you might recognize it from Tips from the ER.
That's the thing he developed during the month. Because I remember talking to him. I was like, he's like, what should I post? I was like, bro, teach me anything. You know so much about the ER. What was all this school for? And I was like, tell me one thing. He was like, this was his first post. And I was like, what'd he say? He was like, do you know, like, around 50% of the people who come to the ER are dehydrated. I was like, no, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
And he was so drink water. And he said his tagline, which I don't know if this is age appropriate on this, so I'm not going to say it, but he curses a lot. So he had like these health adult tips, and that was his first post. And I think it got,
you just
like,
say it, you can say it right here and we'll bleep it.
Oh yeah. He was like, so drink water, motherfuckers. and that first post, I think hit like 10K. And he was like, oh, this works. And then he's...
Oh, whoa, this works. There. Yeah.
So...
And it's been 3 years now.
Woo!
Amazing.
Yeah. And he never wants to go back to the hospital.
I mean, you can see the same thing for a lot of, like, teachers.
Yeah.
Which... Well, that's a separate topic altogether about, like, the state of, you know, teacher salary. Yeah. But the fact that... value can come in different forms and shapes. And so when you think about approaching social media and you think about, well, what value do I bring? That in itself is such a great question, even if you remove the social media aspect of it and you really approach that in a mindset of like, what is my artistry bring to me first? Because you're the first consumer of your art. What does that bring to you? And, you know, excluding what other people think, which at the end of the day is really what you should be focusing on anyway as an artist. Like, don't worry about what other people think, including us.
We don't care.
Do what you want to do in your art,
because there's always a market for you. And I think something that's huge on social media that gets in all of our head is comparing ourselves.
Comparison is the death of joy.
Yeah, there you go.
Or that was the quote, I forget from
it's like, the death or thief of joy, so whatever that thief is of
joy.
But it's really funny to think perspective, because I'm sure you look at other people's content, you're like, oh, I wish my content looked like that. But little do you know, there are some people being like, oh, I wish my content looked like Tossie's.
Yeah.
So it's just like that layer of like, it's cool to strive to be on the content level of somebody else, but also know like you've come a long way.
And people
who would love to be where you are.
Yeah.
So I always try to think sometimes when I'm doing content, and I think this is how the audition with me ones came about. And I'm like, what do I already do that I think is interesting and that like I feel like a lot of people are not in on? And it's a behind the scenes thing. It's like, I don't know what people think auditions look like, but I think they think it's a lot more glamorous than it actually is. Because
movies, right?
Because movies
you know? Show you like what it could, one way it looks
you
like.
You walk in, there's Michael B. Jordan, there's Tossie Alabastro, there's Robert De Niro. We're all going for the same thing, smoking a cigarette, being like,
Are
you going to read this, you know? No, it's not that.
I just watched the movie Kiss Kiss Bang Bang again for the first time in a long time. It's the one with that Robert Downey Jr., Val Kilmer, and Michelle Monaghan. I highly recommend it if you haven't yet seen it. Written by Shane Black.
You're on your Val Kilmer stuff right now.
I am, because I read his memoir, but also I've been a fan without knowing I was a fan. And there's a scene in there with an audition. And it's such a hyper-stylized version of an audition that if you were a young artist or a young actor, you watch that, you might think that that's how you should do it. But in fact, it's the movie itself is kind of like a meta poking fun at the system.
Nice.
And it cracked me up because I'm like, I would never even think to do something like that in an audition because, one, it feels disingenuine. Two, excuse me. Oh, wow. I got caught up there. Two, it's like you want to look out for other people's safety, right? Oh. So it's like that whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to social media.
No, that was great.
Today's been a day. Can I just share that with you? Today's been a day. It's not even noon yet, but my brain feels like it's getting a lot of start stops.
Oh.
Like I'm hitting second gear and it's just like
We're like, oh yeah, let's go back to first.
Yeah. I just want to acknowledge that because I think this never ends up on social media really, but
yeah,
I think that's that thing of tackle the day where you are and then go from there.
Yo, we can talk about that. I mean, we always got time on here. I think tackling the day where you are is beautiful. Also, I know I'm guilty of making my social media just like my highlights, but I think that's why I like TikTok and like other platforms so much, because I feel like I can show everything and talk about everything, and it doesn't have to be like a virtual resume. It's like I can go deeper in there. But yes, I'm very guilty of not sharing where I am all the time, because I think I have that vlog mentality of like, I always want to vlog it, but then when it comes to editing, like I have so much footage on my hard drive
that's unused. I know.
But I'm excited for one day to give it to an editor and then be like,
yo, make something out of it.
This is from like 2016. It's cool.
Here's what's beautiful though. When you think about like how you've approached it, it's like you treat IG like that's just kind of the highlights and all that.
Yeah.
TikTok is a little more personalized and you're willing to share sort of more vulnerable moments. And for me, it's almost the other way around. And this is one of the joys of like, there's no right or wrong way to do it, but there is the way that feels comfortable to you to be as most vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because that's where you're able to connect with people, is that vulnerability, right? You see it in movies, you see it in stories. It's like, as human beings, I think we generally seek to be in that sphere of like vulnerability.
Yeah.
But it's scary if you're trying to do it alone. So like Instagram for me, I treat it as a vehicle for like storytelling for any given moment, right? Like, oh, I just celebrated like a milestone. Let me share kind of the down of it and then the up of it.
Yeah.
It's opportunity to storytell. TikTok, like I said, I haven't really broken into. Maybe that's it. I haven't figured out how to approach it in a way that feels authentically vulnerable to me.
I think you treat it like all the other platforms. What I've been doing lately for all y'all while I'm batching and scheduling is like, I have one video that I like and I'm just sharing it across all platforms, same caption, same hashtags, and seeing which one it does best on.
Yeah.
Trying to limit myself best, like, I'm trying to give myself the best practice and be efficient as I can with time, because I want to be on everywhere. Like, I want to make sure if you're on Twitter all the time that you see my content.
I have been recently, actually.
Oh, good.
Even though I'm very quiet on there these days.
That's fine. But I just want to make sure I'm meeting you where you are on social media and where you like. And I think people overthink like, oh, it's Facebook, so I should write something custom to this. Maybe if you have the time, but if you don't have the time and you're like me, I try to get it out in the morning, post everywhere, and like, chill. There's also tools. We're not sponsored by any of them, so I'm not going to mention them. But if you guys reach out, I'll definitely
share some tools with y'all.
I will also say for discoverability, try if you can. I know there's some handles that you guys want, your @s that like you have on some that you don't have on all because they're taken. If you can.
This is one of the best tips. I think it's coming. I think it's coming. Here it comes.
If you can, have the same @ across all social medias. It will make it easy, I promise you. And when a new social media starts bubbling, get it immediately. Even if you don't know if you want to be on that social media, just get it immediately. When Clubhouse was there, I was like, I need an invite just so I can get @ to poet. You know, I was like, when Be Real came out, I was like, I need
active poet. You mean you don't want to be little X, big X, active poet, little X, big X? No,
I get so frustrated when I can't. That's one reason why I'm not on Twitch. Like, I wanted to start streaming. They won't give me active poet. I don't know what's going on.
Try now.
I messaged them. I emailed them. Yeah, they're like, it's taken. I was like, nobody's using it. What do you mean? And I think it's because Twitch and Twitter are connected and they think I'm a different person. I don't know. Anyways, Snapchat, somebody has active poet as well.
I'm about to go look on Twitch later to see if it's still someone with active
put. Find it, bro.
Find it. Speaking of Twitch, it's not quite social media stuff, but I used it for the other parts of my life, right? So talking about how can social media be a force for good? And I think we've seen Twitter do that in earlier stages of its life. Currently not really at the moment, as it is labeled X. But I will say, coming from a background where I did a lot of live streaming for fundraising, specifically fundraising for children's hospitals. Mm. You can look us up on, we had a live streaming team called Playing With Fire. Shout out to Ryan Weller, AKA the only Ryan on Twitch. I shout him out because he's one of my best pals. And because he is such a force for good and he uses social media so well. And I'll use him as an example of raising money with the help of strangers.
I love that.
And it really is like leaning into the vulnerable moments of life and allowing other people to experience that and share it in a way that's authentic and genuine to that person. And, you know, I think I try to strive for that when I live stream. Obviously, we'll talk in a little bit about like some of the pitfalls of social media, right? I want to talk about parasocial relationships and any like harassment someone might face.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because there is that. Let's be real.
Let's be real.
But for live streaming, like the charity fundraising, being able to see that, and there's a lot of tools that integrate fundraising with it. And I love seeing like so-and-so has raised $68. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to join it. It makes me want to investigate. Yeah. You know, I chase my curiosity. So I'm like, oh, what are they raising for? Oh, check it out. Oh, wow. Like they're like 2% away from their goal. Oh my God. Yeah. My $5 will get close. There's so like you get excited and wrapped up in the sense of like, we're in it together.
Yeah.
I think when you, I was thinking about it in a fundraising sense, like when I get reached out to in an email saying, hey, we're like this close to the goal. I clock that. I'm like, that's awesome. And then I archive that email. But when I see it live and being tweeted in a timeline, and that there are other people experiencing the stakes together, mm-hmm. I feel so much more involved and active. And what does that say about me? I mean, many things, but I will say in that situation, I feel so much more engaged. Totally. And that's such a word. Value proposition is a word you should carry or have with you when you're thinking about social media, but also engagement. Yep. Not engagement in the sense of like, metrics, because some people don't like to look at that, and that's totally fine. But engagement in a way like for the people that are already following you, supporting you, how do you continue to be engaged with them?
Yeah,
in a way that feels authentic and that you're giving back.
Yeah,
right. Extending that to you as a question, how do you feel? What's your favorite form of engagement?
One, I start with what you said earlier. I start at the source of like, what do I love creating? Mm-hmm. Because I always feel like fun is one of those things where you don't have to tell people, I'm having fun.
Just show it.
Exactly.
Show, don't tell.
You know, you go out. Man, why do I always want to like lean into dating advice? But I think it works so well. I'm going to say it. I leaned away from it in the other episode.
Yeah.
When going out, I noticed back when I was a bachelor, instead of going out like, what can I get from the night? Oh, I'm trying to get this girl, or I'm trying to get drunk. What can I give? What can I give to the night? Mm. Rather like, I just want to dance to a good song tonight, you know? I want to make somebody smile with my dance moves tonight.
Yes, yes.
People see that. Some people are like, ugh, they have that insecurity. But there's some people who are like, I like this person, you know? They don't care.
And
it creates that natural community of people who came out with the purpose to dance.
Yes.
People go on social media with the purpose to be entertained or to learn things or to aimlessly scroll. So you could be part of that ecosystem if you want to. So I guess
three things.
That's
literally three different categories of people that consume social media. Yeah. Three things.
So I try to stay engaged by doing what, you know, I enjoy doing, because why would I be on social media promoting something that I don't care about?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a great seed.
Yeah.
Right there. I'm just thinking about, like, you know, if I were to come to you and I had no idea of social media, but I would like to, I'm curious enough to ask you a question.
Please.
Which I did, right? Please. How do you stay engaged? Oh, that, what you offer there feels like a great starting off place.
Yeah.
Start posting things that you really enjoy.
Yeah. And you'll, it's so funny how, like, naturally a community will form where people will be like, yeah. Oh, yeah, I read that book too. Or like, oh, what? I did that back in the day. Or like, right, I'm so interested right. in this. Like, what are you learning?
Yeah.
And I think your comments, your DMs will help you with your content in the future, because you'll be like, I remember somebody reached out and they were like, I don't know how to dream big. And I was like, interesting. I was like, how do I approach this optimism or like dream big mentality? And like, that was a funnel for a video. And I was like, perfect. Yeah. I got you.
You got to use that clip from Inception with Tom Hardy talking to Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character, where he's like, you got to dream big, baby.
Oh, so yeah.
You got to learn to dream bigger.
Big baby. Yeah, I
love and it's that. True. It's really hard to dream big. Yeah.
Because
that should be a goal, though, huh?
Yeah, dreaming is vulnerable, baby.
Dang, dreaming is vulnerable.
I'm just trying to hit you as many times as I can.
I got it.
Yeah. You were talking about fundraising, and it reminded me of a story, if you mind.
No, go ahead.
So for the longest time, I was so bitter holding on to something that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So my rap name, I'll give you guys a little backstory. My old rap name was Duke Fresh. And I hated it. I just needed something at the time. And then I was like, this is not it. But like, I needed something at the time. And then
it's gonna be my rap name, Dookie Fresh.
Dude, please don't. Sometimes
like Dougie Fresh.
When I go to the bathroom, I'm like, oh, I just dropped a Duke Fresh.
Bars.
But I put my name in the like rap generator, you know. So I heard Childish Gambino did that. And what came out was the touchy feely unpublished poet. And I was like, okay. I like the poet part.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I say actor poet? And then active poet just came out and I was like, perfect, active poet. And I just wanted that as my handle, but I wanted to be like my rap name to be known as Dav. I was like, that's what my family calls me.
Yeah.
That's like all my friends call me, like, what's up, Dav? So I'm like, all right. And when I was trying to do it on like iTunes and Spotify, there's like 15 Davs. And I was like, great. Names. So I get back to social media because I put in like your first last name, just Dav, so people would know me as that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized people searching David Morales won't find me because it's just Dav or active poet. And I was like, for a while I was like, I want to be known as Dav rather than trying to be discovered. And I did a fundraiser for the TVA during the pandemic. And this is the first time second time I met David Diggs. The first time is when I was doing Brownsville Song.
Yeah. And just to elucidate this, for those who don't know, who is David Diggs?
David Diggs, actor, rapper from the Bay Area. He starred in Hamilton. He was doing a bunch of theater out here in the Bay Area and rapping with his group called Clip, I think. Clip?
Yeah.
I don't know his band's name. I apologize, David, if you're watching this. but he's super multi-talented. He's all over the place right now. Film, he's in Blindspotting. Yeah. Him and Rafa are doing that, and they're killing it. But yeah, David Diggs, mega superstar. Love the guy. Second time working with him, or second time meeting him, the first time is I was doing Brownsville Song.
Yeah.
And Margo Hall was directing it, and she's friends with him. And she was actually playing his mom in the Blindspotting movie.
Amazing.
During the time.
Keeping it in the family.
And he came to support. Super nice guy. But the second time was during the pandemic. We were doing a Bay Area fundraiser with Theater Bay Area. Shout out TBA.
TBA.
And we want to do this whole bit where it's like David thought he was hosting, but I'm the David who's hosting. And it was fun working with him. But I was thinking about that. Something struck my core that day during the pandemic when I was like overthinking my social media. I was like, you know what? I'm not Dav anymore. I should be David Morales and make sure people can find me. I promise you guys this. Within an hour of me changing my name, David Diggs followed me.
He went looking.
I think just like after our rehearsal, he's like, oh, I should probably like check out David's stuff, you know? And I was like, he wouldn't have been able to find me if I was still just Dav at Active Poet.
Hashtag getting out of your own way.
Yeah.
Wow. What a story.
True story.
And also I'll be on the other side of that. Applause.
Thank you.
I watched that gala. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. So shout out to you guys there.
Thank you.
What a, for me hearing that story, it's like, oh wow, I get the extra dimension of that moment, I guess.
Yeah.
But also that's amazing.
Yeah.
One day I'll have to tell you my first name.
Oh.
It's not Tosi.
Isn't it start with an R?
Yeah. Well, you know. Okay, know. You know. Cool. We'll save it for a different episode.
This guy, I don't know. Come on. Before we wrap up, let's talk about some of the pitfalls that you wanted to.
Yeah, yeah. We won't get too deep into it because I think there's plenty of resources out there. Also, I'd love to get people on here later who have firsthand account on that.
Yeah.
Parasocial relationships. Parasocial relationship basically means, for those of you who are not aware, it's like you if you watch a favorite television show or live reality show, you as an audience member start to develop like you know this person. And because of the nature of social media and how much we are as people that post let you into our lives to some degree, you feel ingratiated and you feel like, oh, I know this person. So that when you see them in real life, maybe there's that sense of like over familiarity.
Oh.
And oh, I'll give you a good example, I guess. Leia Salonga, like her fans accosted her recently on Here Lies Love, Broadway musical. And Leia's been on social media and, you know, in the public eye for such a long time that I think people get a sense of who she is. And when they meet them in person, like, you still have to remember that there's kind of like that boundary, right? Like you still have to act a certain way. Like you don't know me like that.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets dangerous because I think some people don't have that filter of, oh, you know, I meet this person. They're like my bestie. I see them all the time.
Yeah.
But that's because they post all the time.
Yeah.
Right. So you feel, anyway, parasocial relationships are an interesting thing and certainly something to be aware of when you get more active.
Totally.
And just to kind of see, like, how do you engage with strangers on that platform?
Of course.
And what was the other thing?
I think we were talking about, like, negative comments and, like, trolls.
Oh, yeah. I will say I don't get a whole lot of that on my Instagram, not yet. TikTok. Yeah, thank you. But I do get some on my YouTube gaming channel.
Nice.
And it's often with my older stuff where I wasn't as succinct or just the way I delivered things was, you know, obviously being myself. And some of the comments are like, anyway, it ranges, right? Like anywhere from like, you know, go kill yourself or like, this is boring. Yeah. I think that one actually hurts more than go kill yourself. You're boring. It's like, this sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like get to the point. Like that hurts even more than go kill yourself, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I think when I read those, I always just laugh. I'm like, thanks for the engagement is what I normally.
Yeah.
Is my first response. Like, thanks for the engagement. Yeah. How do I jujitsu this, like, so that it's to my advantage? And also, like, I ask myself, is this a teachable moment? Because I'd like to think that some people will type something because they feel the safety of anonymity. But they're also people. So I have to think, can they learn from this? Or are they willing to? Or, like, are they writing this so that they can be seen?
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, obviously, I don't want to spend a whole lot of energy on that. But it is something to be aware of, like, the person that I am, I'm like, can I be a force for good?
Yeah, you can.
And that doesn't have to just end in a video. It can extend to the comments. It can extend in a DM, you know. But I want to also acknowledge, like, I'm a guy. So, you know, there's a dangerous world out there that we want to try and be better at, right? Like, women obviously have a harder time dealing with that.
Of course.
And yeah, it sucks. It does suck. We'll just acknowledge the elephant in the room. It sucks.
The suckiness of it. I will say a couple things to that. One, I've always had the problem with getting 10 compliments and then one negative one and just holding on to the negative one. Oof. I've always had that problem, but now I tend to just ignore the negative energy and that's not for me.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of me growing up. I'm just like, a lot of times when people throw stuff at me, I know it's not mine. I'm like, because my intentions were not that. I'll hear it out.
Yeah.
And then I'll see if I had any part in it. But most of the time, it's not about me.
No.
You know, I'm like, what? you got that from this. I was like,
right, how?
And I'd rather spend more time following the love. And I think that's a good reason to why I'm here today, like doing, being an artist. I just follow the love, like, oh, theater loves me. Look at this community. You guys appreciate me. You guys want to give me roles? Stuff I've always wanted to do? Yeah. Follow the love. Tossie wants to hang out with me. I follow the love. Like, where does it take me rather than just
live in the hate?
I can do a podcast. Then do a podcast. Absolutely. This podcast is boring. Then create something that's not, you know? I lean away from like the things that are not mine. Also, the internet as a vehicle. Unfortunately, y'all can say no to this, but it's a place for you to be judged. You kind of put yourself out there to be judged. And like the moment I like had that, I was like, oh, when I'm putting my music out there, anything out there, people can hate on this. And I'm like, but I'm leaving it out there for whatever.
Well, because the alternative, if you're an artist, is like it. And I read this for writers. There's something I was reading recently about writers. It's like, why do you write? Writing hurts.
Yeah.
Oof. But at the end of the day, I think it's Joan Didion said, I think it's her. I don't know. I don't want to misattribute, but it hurts even more to know to not write.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to lean into it doesn't hurt, it heals, but I like that one way better.
Like of the two, would you rather do it and hurt or not do it and feel like death?
So that's like me. That's me to the core.
Yeah. So when you think about like creating, I think, you know, I just wrapping kind of this up is like social media feels that way sometimes where it's like it hurts not to create something on there.
Agreed.
And if I'm not already doing, if I'm not already creating in my artistic life, you know, i.e. doing a show, rehearsal, painting, whatever, then for me, speaking for myself here, posting something and crafting a little story to go with it or whatever feels like I'm chasing that creation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like, you know, thank you for saying that. Chase the love. You know, I think that's why I do it too. It's like, oh, I love just making stuff. And making stuff digitally leaves such a smaller footprint than like, I'm going to go and like tag a house or something. You know what I mean? Like, so, which I could do and then post on social media, but.
And then get in trouble for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we don't want that.
Be smart with your para relationships. Also, I will say about, I've definitely slipped on like doubling down on the things that people enjoy and make them happy. Like I used to do like Motivational Monday and I used to do like this thing called Dav Radio where I used to jam in my car with my favorite songs, and then people used to message me like, why don't you do that anymore? And I was just like, man, people really like this. Why am I not doing that? And that's a form of self-sabotage, which we all get in social media. But if people are liking something, you should probably double down on that. And even if no one's liking or commenting on your stuff, that does not mean they're not seeing it.
That's right.
You know,
some people are like stealth.
Yeah, stealth. Either like they're observing, they're hating at a distance, but like prove them haters wrong and keep posting, you know.
Yeah,
just have fun with it. Oh, Davi Diggs' band is named Clipping.
I knew
it was gonna come around. Clipping.
We can officially end the podcast.
Whew.
Because otherwise I would have been like, dang, he's gonna come knocking at our door.
What?
We're gonna be blacklisted on blind spotting.
You know, I was thinking of the clips and I was like, that's not it. I was like, grinding. I was like, it's not
grinding.
I was like,
grinding.
No, I was like, that's not it. Clipping. Go check out Davi Diggs' music. And your other David's music. Active poet, baby.
Maybe we'll go make a dance video.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But yeah, and also go follow us on social media. I'm David Morales. You can follow me everywhere, Active Poet.
And I'm Tossie Alabastro at Tossie Alabastro.
And this has been our podcast, Art Time Job. Reminding you to make time for your art because art saves the world.
Saves the world.
And we also are on other social media. So follow Art Time Job Podcast.
That's true. We haven't said that.
You know?
This is appropriate.
This is the episode to do it.
Yeah. Come follow us.
Yee. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.